All right, thank you. We're going to talk about something very interesting. Maybe for those of you in Minnesota or east of Mississippi, but for those of us west of Mississippi, especially in California, I think there is something going on that everybody's saying that, oh, California is running out of water. No, we're not. We have the technology to change the way we use water, and we are still using water, and we're still going to be using water. That is the positive side of it. But we just learned how to conserve our own our water. So what I'm going to talk about this afternoon is basically the effect of reuse or degraded waste water in the irrigated agriculture. This is a project that was actually done by Alberto Gonzalez. He's a visiting scientist from he's a visitor from Colombia. He's done quite a lot of work with Don Suarez. So I just fit in here because I wanted to look at the effect of recycled water, because we have a lot of projects downstream that we are doing with the degraded water. So when I look at the when I look at it, I saw something that was published in Environmental International early this year. It says here, wastewater reuse in agriculture, a microbiological perspective on implication in soil fertility and human and environment. Many in what I'm doing in my job in USDA RS in Riverside is basically looking at implication to human and environment. But when you look at this, you see implication to soil fertility, soil quality, plant growth before it gets to human health, because we all interdependent what happens in the environment. Then what we're looking at here is, what is our interest here in the use of recycled waste water? Okay, increasing severe shortage of fresh water supply in many communities. I put down here many communities because it's not only in Southern California that we have problem of reuse wastewater or water shortage. When you go to Israel or Middle East, you have a lot of issues with the water shortage. So what I'm saying here is this, that water shortage is of different kinds, different countries. But always the motivation is generally the same kind of motivation, because at the long end, you're going to see improved agricultural production. Because I guarantee you, if you don't have water, you cannot irrigate your crops, especially those of us in Southern California, or when you get to Central California, where a lot of agricultural production is, there are many irrigated agriculture. And also, with the use of reused water, there is reduced energy consumption in terms of production, treatment, and distribution of water. And most importantly, this is very important, a significant environmental benefit is that such as reduced nutrient loads to receiving waters due to reuse of treated wastewater. This one here has so many facets that you can look at. For our study, our main concern here is salinity, and my main concern is looking at pathogens, antibiotics, and antibiotic resistant genes. Though we're not going to report anything in this area, because we're still looking at this data, but we will do a little bit of here, but we will focus mainly on our microbial communities. And our main objective here is to examine the effects of sodium adsorption ratio and pH of recycled wastewater used for irrigation on microbial community and community composition. What is sodium absorption ratio? For those of you who do not know, I know that a lot of you know what the pH is. Sodium absorption ratio is mainly the ratio of sodium to calcium and magnesium that you have in the soil. If you have a lot of sodium in your system or in your water, or if you irrigate your soil with a lot of soil containing high concentration of sodium, and you end up having a high sodium absorption ratio, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to have low infiltration. So when you have low infiltration in your soil, that means that you have a lot of water, just have a lot of runoff. And if you have a lot of runoff, what happens is that most of this runoff, this water, if they are from a concentrated feeding animal operation, careful, or from a recycle, or from a wastewater treatment plant, what they do is that they run into the streams and subsequently may pollute your streams with all sort of emerging contaminants. So that is really the main thing that we're trying to avoid, to make sure that you don't have so much sodium in your sample that you create low infiltration for your water. And this is a study that was basically set up in our lab in the U.S. Sanity Lab, where we are at the UC Riverside campus, where we collected soil from the experimental field at UC Riverside. We set them up in the 36, in this 36 plot, and these are our water that we use for irrigation. Our experimental design was a 3-level of sodium absorption ratio, 2-level of pH, and 2 types of water. When I say 2 types of water, that means one was a synthetic water, and synthetic water just means water that we get, that we use tap water to make sure that the sodium absorption level and the pH are the same as the wastewater that we got from a wastewater treatment plant in Orange County, California. You could have the wastewater from any wastewater treatment plant. So we set the experimental design up here. These were 12 treatments, different level of SRA with different pH. It stops here. These are all Carlsberg recycled wastewater, and these are our synthetic water. And we did some more bacterial community, basically doing a pyrosequencing on all the soil samples that we got. Then we run our different statistics, different diversity, full sequences, and most of the abundance level all the way to the class, phyla, and the species level. This is just from the pyrosequencing. We have about 169 to close up to about 170,000 sequence tag. Once we clean out everything, we ended up with this. And when we look at the different treatments, these were the different levels of a sequence tag that we get from the different treatments. And from that treatment, we did a rarefaction curve, which is something that a lot of people have a lot of issues with, because when you do a rarefaction curve, as you move on to do your statistical analysis, you're trying to do some sort of a normalization, and you will have maybe one sample that has all the way up to 36,000 sequence, and you may have one that has maybe about 5 sequence. Then you try to figure out how to normalize your data. But this has advantages and disadvantages. This is one of the things that we talked about yesterday when we had a workshop on CHIME. So this is some of the issues that we were dealing with yesterday. When you look at our samples, this basically we have from our soil, we have a lot of samples that were unidentified, almost 45%. That's a lot. Then you get to proteobacteria of about close to about 17-18%. Then Firmicutes, Acinetobacteria, then Actinobacteria and Acinetobacteria. Then you can look at the different bacterial groups that we were able to identify from our samples in general. Then when you look at it from the different treatments, what was surprising to me with what we did was, how did we get such high level of Firmicutes in sample number one with very low AR and sodium adsorption ratio and low pH. So that is not surprising when you talk to people that are soil chemists and are soil physicists, that they always tell you that you want a very low level of sodium in your soil sample, which is very, very true. But you can see that most of the other groups of bacteria, both in the synthetic, except maybe in some cases you have some differences here and not really with the main group here, like the proteobacteria, either from the synthetic or from the synthetic here to all the samples here that we have that are from the Carlsbad West water. So we look at different classes of the four classes of proteobacteria, mainly the alpha, beta, delta, and the gamma proteobacteria. Then this is not surprising because we expected that the alpha proteobacteria would be the dominant group, and there were mainly the dominant group. We see that they were slightly higher from the west, from the Carlsbad West water samples that we use. And from the data here, we went on to do a jackknife analysis with our normalized data. And we have the soil into four groups. This is synthetic group. I don't know why it got in there. And the rest of this, these two, where also this is another synthetic group. But the main thing here that we look at here is that when we summarize the data and we look at some of the, for instance, looking at the Shannon diversity index here, when you look at the Shannon diversity index, you can see that there are very few samples that have very low diversity, like what you have here, the one with the 3.8 something over here in sample, in one of those samples. Then we did PCOA. Then the unique thing here is that these are all the samples with high sodium adsorption ratio. The rest of the samples with low sodium adsorption ratio, they seem to cluster in this area. And when we did the CC conical corresponding analysis, we can see that boron, electrical conductivity, and total organic carbon were the driving forces that caused the separation of a microbial community. Then we did the partial CCA. Once we do the partial CCA, we know that it was 10.3% to 12.8% and 12.9% were contributed by boron or by EC boron and total organic matter. And 64%, we couldn't explain it, which we're working on this 64% reducing because we have a lot of data that we're still analyzing to look at what are the components of this 64%. And basically, in the conclusion, what we've seen here is that there is some effect of a high level of sodium absorption level in our soil that may cause some effect on the certain microbial community. And the question is always, where do we go from here? And my interest is looking at some of the potential pathogens and looking at the antibiotic resistant genes that we may have in this sample, because that pertains to public health. Thank you. The last talk, you're not going anywhere anymore.
So I have a question. Logistics in California, except for, you know, economically recycling and passing it through centrifugal systems on farms, and you think, is it close where people will start using it, or?
Well, I think when you talk of reuse water, sometimes the technology is there, because like Orange County, the technology is already there. They've done this for many years, where they use a lot of tertiary treated water from 11 wastewater treatment plants and run that through the aquifer system and just run it through the aquifer system, and it sits inside the aquifer for about 6 months and blocks the intrusion of salt water from the ocean. So during that process, then they repump that water and into their treatment plants and basically use it for domestic water supply. The technology is already there in place, and they are doing the same thing in Singapore. Okay. Can you say that again?
So the technology we have, we're using now.
Okay.
The big transplant might not be effective in removing some of the emerging contaminants.
Yep.
Do you see that as an issue or an important issue?
Actually, that as a very, very big issue, because we are just writing a project plan on that. Because, like I said, there are about 11 wastewater treatment plants around our watershed. And most of the tertiary treated water goes into Chino Creek. So, and there are a lot of indications that a lot of these emerging contaminants and antibiotics, they are not well removed from the treatment plants. And what happens there is, once this gets into surface water, it creates a lot of selection pressure to the bacteria that are there. And those bacteria will develop resistant genes. So that becomes a common issue. But maybe some of these wastewater treatment plants, I'm told that they are bringing in some new levels of technology. I think maybe, I don't know what they call it, with reverse osmosis and some other technology that help to remove some of these emerging contaminants from treated wastewater. But that issue is still there until new technologies come into effect that can take care of this, because that is really the public health issue that we are all concerned about. Okay.
Do the water that's used for the medical just like the Israel special administration. In Israel, we don't use those products for national and domestic purposes. We only use them for national purposes.
Yes, the one in Israel are not well treated like what we have in Southern California. In California, the regulations are very strict. Before you release water from the treatment plant into surface water, the rules are extremely strict. In fact, that water is so clean, we've actually looked at total organic carbon and dissolved organic carbon in those water. They are as clean as what you have anyway. Those water are clean. I've looked at even E. coli. They are below one. They are below 5 CFU per mil. So the water that is released in Southern California is way, way cleaner than those that are released in Israel. So those are two different things, two different countries or different locales that will have different regulations for their water to be released out into surface water.
Okay.
Thank you.